Just recently, John Medlin died, of course, Justin. And in looking at this for the Business Journal, you talked to several of his friends and acquaintances. Tell me how you approach this whole story.
You know, it occurred to me that if you are relatively new to this area, if you just moved here in the last 10 or 15 years, the name John Medlin might not mean anything to you. But the fact of the matter is, in Winston-Salem, in the state of North Carolina, and really in the nation, John Medlin was not just one of the finest bankers in America. He was recognized during his career as the most admired banker in the whole United States.
And his name is synonymous with Wachovia Bank, which he joined early on in 1959. Let's go over his career a little bit. He rose quickly and stayed there for quite a number of years.
You know, it was the first job he took right out of the military. You know, he went to Chapel Hill, graduated in 1956. This is a guy who grew up during the Depression in a farm, incredibly smart, but very humble, rose through the ranks very quickly. He was named president and chief operating officer at the age of 41 in 1974, became CEO just a couple of years after that. And this was a time when Wachovia, in some ways, was just a small regional bank with a great, solid, conservative reputation. But during the 17 years that he was in charge, and keep in mind, he retired in 1994, he grew that bank 20 times its size. And when he retired in 1994, it was one of the 20 largest banks in America and one of the most respected.
Well, there are a lot of banking executives in the country. What was it about him, the characteristics that made him so extraordinary?
You know, he ran a bank at a time when being conservative, being thrifty, being frugal, and in some ways being safe was the way to go. He didn't believe in a lot of debt and a lot of leverage. He was very, very careful. You know, having stock in Wachovia was like having a savings account. You could always count on the interest. You could always count on the dividends. He believed in that very strongly. When banking got deregulated in the 1980s, he took part in that. You know, he bought First Atlanta. He had dual headquarters in Atlanta and Winston-Salem for a while. But he never really approved of the aggressive growth that his peers in the industry in Charlotte, you know, at First Union and NCNB had. He just thought that they were taking on too much debt, that it was way too risky. It wasn't the Wachovia way, and he was recognized for that.
And by the early 90s, Wachovia was actually called the industry's gold standard. So when it came to the later years, when Wachovia was being sold to First Union, he made all the right comments about it, but have you found anything different? Did he feel differently about it?
You know, in talking to his friends this week, I did. You know, he was very public. And this was some years after he had retired. And it was 2001, and his successor, Bud Baker, saw fit to merge Wachovia with First Union and move that bank to Charlotte out of Winston-Salem, where it was founded in 1879. And his friend said he was really heartbroken by this. He said the right things. He lobbied to keep a lot of jobs in Winston-Salem, but he hated to see that bank headquarters go, and he didn't think it had to be that way.
Well, then he retired young, at age 60 in 1994, and then he retired as the bank's board chairman in 1998.
You know, that's the thing. You know, he stepped away from the stage and he gave up the reins of power, but he never really gave up the prestige and the stature that he had. When I talked to his friends and his peers, one of the things they said is that people continued to call on him all the time. Folks from the Federal Reserve, Paul Volcker was a close friend of his, governors of the state of North Carolina, the heads of the legislature, the heads of businesses. John Medlin was such a prized intellect, such a thoughtful guy, such a precise and accurate decision maker, that he was someone that people were calling on in advice throughout his retirement years.
And one of the things I saw in the story that I really enjoyed was the story about the mockingbird on the tennis court. I mean, it kind of sums it up. Everybody listened to him except for, well, one entity.
You know, it's an interesting story that a good friend of his told. And that's, see, you know, Medlin was he just was such an avid tennis player. He was hyper-competitive. All the aggression and a drive that he took out, you know, when he was a CEO of a bank, went into his forehand smashes and rushing the net. But there was this mockingbird that used to perch on a light stand at the Old Town Country Club in Winston-Salem. And it seemed that every time Medlin was serving, this mockingbird would start squawking. And one of his friends said that's when they learned all the curse words that John learned in the Navy, because he would shout them at this mockingbird, but the mockingbird never stopped. And what this friend said, it was really about the only time that he knew of when John Medlin was ignored by man or beast.
Justin, thanks so much for telling us a little bit about John Medlin this week, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Steve.